Revelations, former Prime Minister Scott Morrison swore himself into five other key portfolios during the pandemic, have gripped the nation since they hit the headlines at the start of the week. Yesterday, Mr. Morrison gave a lengthy press conference to explain himself and take some heat out of the story. But I think it's fair to say succeeded in doing the opposite. National Senator Bridget McKenzie was a cabinet minister under Scott Morrison. She's our guest this morning. Welcome.
Great to be with you, PK.
You watched the former Prime Minister's press conference yesterday. What did you think?
I caught snippets of it as I was flying. I think he's attempted to give an account of his decisions during that period of time. But I think, there were legitimate questions that have been asked that he's sought to address, but there are many more questions that still remain on the table. And I just think, I'm a strong believer, obviously, of the Westminster conventions that have been, developed over hundreds of years, cabinet solidarity, ministerial accountability and responsibility, and to have authority transferred in this way and to remain secret from cabinet and from indeed the very ministers themselves, I think has been quite a shocking revelation to us all.
Do you accept Scott Morrison's explanation that he didn't inform the relevant ministers because he didn't want to undermine confidence in them? He didn't want it to be misconstrued and misunderstood?
Yeah, look, PK, having served under two prime ministers in a cabinet system of government, you enter that room as equals to debate policy issues of the day and to represent the portfolio. I really struggle with the explanation. The confidence issue, if the Prime Minister loses confidence in a minister, or indeed if a minister loses confidence in a Prime Minister, under the conventions, there is appropriate action is for the minister to consider their position. That didn't happen in this case. I think the minister's concerned, rightfully upset about that, because whilst that may have been the former Prime Minister's intent, and having worked with him through the pandemic where we did have an incredible result as a country that we can be very, very proud of, and he was constantly concerned about, the safe, the well-being and economic health of our nation through the pandemic, which was an incredible time, I struggled to understand and appreciate the need to keep these appointments secret. It goes against sort of everything that underpins our system of government of transparency and accountability, if not publicly made known, at the very least to the cabinet itself.
Did it strike you as odd that in an interview on Tuesday, Scott Morrison couldn't recall being sworn into Treasury and Home Affairs, but yesterday he had a lengthy explanation saying that because of the kind of extraordinary powers of those particular ministries, he thought their unilateral decision-making meant that he should get himself sworn in?
Patricia, my understanding is, having listened to that part of the press conference, was he'd had a briefing from PM&C. I'm not going to, run a commentary on Scott Morrison's statements and press conferences and Facebook pages. You've got to take him at his word. He said he got a briefing and got more detail. So I'll leave it at that. I guess my concern as leader of the Nationals in the Senate is that these arrangements essentially breached the coalition agreement. I mean, it showed complete disrespect for the second party of government, that's the National Party. Our coalition arrangements are a negotiated outcome, and they include a ratio of, cabinet portfolios in a coalition government. And by essentially removing the authority of one of those ministers and giving it to a Liberal minister without that minister's knowledge, essentially breached the coalition agreement.
Do you know why Michael McCormack didn't tell you what had happened?
Well, at the time, Patricia, I was not in cabinet.
But the other Nationals...
that period of 2020. No, yeah. I don't.
Should he have?
I don't know. Well, I think that's... when you're in a leadership role, I'm not going to run a commentary on leaders, because having been in those roles and around those tables, there are serious and complex conversations that occur, and you know, we elect our leaders to have those conversations on our behalf in the political party. But my view is that that it was a breach of the coalition agreement, and that the National Party would not have agreed with having one of its ministers removed, essentially removed.
So,
in all intents and purposes.
So, did
I mean,
then
later on
did,
down
in
the
your
track,
view, did Mike did Michael McKen did he actually McCormack fail in his duty then as National's leader?
Well, I wasn't privy to the conversations that he had with the Prime Minister when
but
he
but
had
in not telling
knew,
the party,
etc.
Because you said you wouldn't have signed up to it.
Well, it happened once the it was a breach of an agreement that was already in place. I mean, the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, you know, got the authority over the resources portfolio once the coalition agreement was in place. So I'm not privy to the conversations that happened between the two leaders as a result of that, but it is essentially a breach of our agreement. And I think that's a problem. It shows great disrespect on behalf of the Prime Minister to our party.
Are you happy for Scott Morrison to remain in Parliament?
Yeah, I think, again, great fan of our system of government. The people of Australia obviously chose a new Prime Minister at the last election, and the people of Cook chose Scott Morrison to be their local MP. And so I don't think he should be resigning from Parliament. I think had he still been, had the people chosen him to be their Prime Minister, well, there would be serious questions to be asked about him staying on in that role. But the people of Cook rightfully have chosen him. He is their representative in the Australian Parliament, and he should remain there.
Okay. Former Home Affairs Minister Karen Andrews has told Sky News that Scott Morrison has not called her to personally apologise, but he's called Matthias Cormann and Josh Frydenberg. What do you make of that? Should he call her?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes,
does it
Patricia.
Strike you as odd that he hasn't called her, but he's called the other two?
Yes, it does. I think the right thing to do would obviously call all of the ministers concerned and convey his views to them personally. But again, that's a decision for Mr. Morrison.
Okay, you said at the start of the interview that at the end of that press conference there are more questions that it raises. Can you tell me what they are, what Scott Morrison needs to address?
Well, it's less about Scott Morrison, I think, and about recognising that this was a catastrophic, unparalleled event, being a global pandemic, that our system of government had to deal with. And so how our conventions developed over hundreds of years can essentially change if they have to in response to events. But we need to do that together. So these conventions aren't Liberal Party conventions or National Party conventions. They're Labor Party conventions as well. They're conventions that help us govern our country and make sure we can all have confidence in whoever the Prime Minister and Cabinet is of the day. So I think it's very appropriate that going forward, both parties of government, all parties of government, the Liberals, the Nationals and the Labor Party, examine what happened and make decisions around how to ensure that this can't happen again. Now, if that means having to change laws, or if that means having to ensure we have a new raft of conventions to give that sort of confidence to the broader public that cabinet ministers who have that authority under the Crown are able to exercise that fairly and justly, as they should, as the public expects them to be able to.
Thank you for your time this morning, Senator.
Always, PK.
National Senator Bridget McKenzie was a cabinet minister under Scott Morrison.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.